Amen. Praise God. Would you open your Bibles with me, if you don't mind, to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 once again. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is part 2 of what we began talking about last week. If you weren't here last week, don't worry. You're going to get blessed by this, because whether or not it's part 2, it's still a message in and of itself, and it's going to bless you and encourage you as well. Last week, if you were with us, I mentioned to you this. I prefaced it by telling you this. You know, in the world that we live, you know, there's a lot of things that we could be concerned about. There's a lot of things going on in the world. We live in very complicated days. How many of you would agree to that? Amen. We live in very complicated days, whether we look at the war that's going on in Iraq and then also Afghanistan, whether we look at the threats that are out there pertaining to Iran and North Korea and a variety of other places. You know, I was, thinking about this. You know, our new president-elect, you know, he's been briefed on things concerning our nation that in some respects probably would scare the living daylights out of the normal American. You know, they are aware of things and threats that you and I are not aware of. But aren't you glad? First of all, aren't you glad you're not aware of them? Amen. That's all right. And then not only that, but aren't you glad that those of us who trust in God and have Jesus as our Lord, you know, we know that none of the things going on around us and anything that we may or may not be aware of, none of those things take God by surprise. How many of you know that God is not surprised by anything? Amen. He knew we'd be here today. He knew that we'd be worshiping God here in this building today. He knew that the world would be in the state that it's in this 2008 and going into 2009. He knew you and I would be living here, and He's made preparation. He has made provision for everything that you and I need in life during 2008, 2009, and beyond. No matter what, our God has us in the palm of His hand, the Word of God says. Amen? Say, I am in the palm of God's hands. And He just cradles us in the palm of His hand. And that's a picture of protection, a picture of love and care and concern. And knowing that just ought to cause us to rest easy every night. We ought to, as believers, never lose a night's sleep, knowing that we are in the palm of God's hand. Amen. He knew we'd be here, and He's equipped us. You may not feel equipped. You may not look like you're equipped. But nevertheless, God is an equipping God. He knew we'd be living in these days. And you know what? He says if He could speak to us right now, and He does in His Word and by His Spirit, He would say to you that I have prepared you for whatever may come down the road. I have prepared you because I'm your God. Jesus is your Lord. And everything you need is found in Him. And so this is a generation prepared for the times in which we live. Amen? We got to believe that. We got to believe that. Amen. Now, I don't know where all that came from. Wasn't planning on that. But notice now, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read, and then we're going to look up at the big screen. We're going to remind you of some things. We're going to do a little bit of review from last week. But if you'll notice, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, it reads this way. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God. I mean, there's all sorts of things in that passage of Scripture. We're going to look at part of it from the Amplified Bible up on the big screen in just a minute. But notice what he says here. He says that God's divine power has, in the past tense, His divine power has what? Given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We mentioned to you last week that in Christ, everything we need, having to do with our natural life or godliness, our spiritual life, everything we need is found in Christ. Amen. And then going on with this, I love this. It says in verse 4, by which have been given to us, by His what? By His divine power, has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. How many of you know that the Word of God is full of promises? Amen. The Word of God is full of promises for the people of God. You and I are, as we've already said, we'll see the Scripture, heirs of God and joint heirs, equal heirs, co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, everything we need is found in Christ. We are heirs of God. You are an heir. You are an heir of a kingdom, aren't you? You are an heir of the greatest kingdom that has ever existed or that ever will exist. You and I are heirs of the kingdom of Almighty God. Let's look up on the big screen. I want to encourage you today. That's my job, to encourage you with truth, with the Word of God. It says from the Amplified, it's a lot of words, but notice, may grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Let me just say to you, this is a promise for 21st century believers. God's desire is that you and I be free from fears and agitating passions. The world is full of them, but you and I are ordained to be free from them. Amen? Going on with this, it says, be multiplied to you, be it multiplied to you, all the necessary good, all the spiritual prosperity, all the freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, let them be multiplied to you in full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For His divine power has, taking note of the past tense, has bestowed upon us. There has been a bestowal of promises of God upon us. He has, past tense, bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence or virtue. And so everything we need. And again, these are things to be thankful for. As we approach this Thanksgiving season, we're thankful all the time. But let's be reminded of things we can be thankful for, that everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything that we may face in life, God has provision for it. In fact, He has provision for it before it ever is a need manifest in our life. Amen? You remember in Genesis chapter 22, it talked about Abraham. We're not going to turn there. Didn't even mean to talk about it, but I want to mention it to you. Am I talking too fast? Hopefully you can keep up, but I got a lot to talk about. If you can see my notes, you know I got a lot to say. Amen. But in any case, you remember Abraham one time. Genesis chapter 22 talked about him offering up Isaac. God gave a command that he would offer up Isaac, his only son. Of course, that was a picture of God the Father offering up in the future. He would be offering up His only begotten son, right? Isaac, of course, becomes a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a picture or a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham was given command to offer up his only begotten son, right? And all of these things took place, and he went up to the mountain. He told the man, my son and I, we're going to go up to the mountain, we're going to worship, and we shall return again. Did you ever notice that Abraham said, in that context, that we're going up and we're coming back? How many of you know that the command was already there to offer his son, but Abraham went in faith, didn't he? Yes. Hebrews 11 tells us that he went already believing that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. He had a revelation of the resurrection pertaining to Isaac and no doubt pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read last week in Galatians chapter 3 that God preached the gospel to Abraham, didn't he? I think that one place that the gospel was preached to Abraham was in the event of his life that we see recorded in Genesis chapter 22. There was the gospel all around that entire event of him being commanded to offer his son. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? In fact, he told him to take him to the land of Moriah, and many expositors believe that in the land of Moriah, there was a mount called Calvary later on, and it was probably on that very Mount Calvary, probably knowing God as we do, that's where Isaac was probably offered in the land of Moriah. Wouldn't that be just like God? In any case, as Abraham was about to slay his son in obedience to God, the angel of the Lord said, stop, don't slay your son, for now God does know. Now God knows that you'll not withhold anything from me. God knew now that the covenant was sealed. Everyone throughout history, Satan as well, would know the covenant was ratified and confirmed because Abraham, a man, was able to give everything to God in exchange to make a covenant that was established. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you know, when God stopped Abraham, he said, and notice, over in a thicket there was a ram. Yeah. And you know, even Abraham on his way up the mountain said to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen? Yeah. How many of you know God did provide himself a lamb? Amen? With the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. But even in the natural, God provided a lamb. And I want you to know that no matter what in our lives, you know, we're going through various things, different things going on in our lives. God says He has already given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want you to know that when you think there is no way out, when you think there is nothing left, when you think there's no provision, I want you to know that God still has a ram stuck in a thicket in order for you to have provision and to get you through. Amen. I believe God is still a God who provides lambs in the thicket of life. Amen. And he looks ahead. In fact, when Abraham called that Jehovah Jireh, it means to look ahead and make provision. God looks ahead. He knows ahead of time. And he provided. I don't know when that ram got stuck in that thicket, but God had direction of that ram for a long time. Then finally, whatever way he might have done it, he got that. I don't know if he picked him up and put him in it. I don't know if he just directed the ram to it or blinded his eyes. I don't know. But the ram got stuck right at the moment when Abraham needed him. And I believe that your ram will be in that thicket in that time indeed. Right when you need that ram of provision. Amen? We've got to trust God because we are also called Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What was good for Abraham is good for the seed of Abraham as well. Amen? Is everybody doing all right today? Amen. Praise God. Let's go out. Let's look at some other scriptures here. Remember, the idea or the meaning of the word blessed. So we're talking about being blessed. God's people are a blessed people. When having to do with God blessing people, it means that he is the blesser who gives the capacity for living a full and rich life. I trust that you believe that today. God desires and already really has provided the capacity to have a full and rich life for every single one of us. That's part of his plan for us. And so many believers, all of us to one extent or another, live so far below what God's intended plan is for us. Oh, but I think in these last days that God is going to have a remnant of people that are going to rise up and they're going to possess the land. They're going to take a hold of that abundant supply that God has. I'm not talking about materially, though that would be part of it, but I'm talking about abundant supply of the Spirit, an abundant supply of anointing, the abundant supply of healing power, the abundant supply of everything we need in order to accomplish the vision and purpose of Almighty God. Amen? Let's look at the next frame. It says this, to bless in the Old Testament means to endue, which has the idea of being clothed with power for success, prosperity, fecundity, and longevity, etc. Going on, we're reviewing still, even though I'm adding to the review. So to be blessed means God endues with power for an abundant life. God endues with power for an effective life, and God endues with power for success. Next frame. In the New Testament, we're referring to God blessing people. It means to benefit, to be generously given to give supreme happiness. When God blesses people, he grants them favor and confers happiness upon them. Again, God is a blessing God, isn't he? All right? He's a blessing God. Did he not say to Abraham? Again, we could talk about Abraham. He's in our example of faith in many ways. Even in the New Testament, we understand it from Romans 4, Galatians, all through it. Various places, Abraham is our example. Did not God say, come out from the land and go to a land that I will show you and I will bless you and multiply you and you shall be a blessing. Amen. So God doesn't even want to bless us for ourselves. He wants to bless us because he loves us, but so that we can be a blessing to those around us as well, right? Amen. Going on to the next frame, the blessings of the Lord already belong to us. Next one. Ephesians 1:3, I'm just going to give you some scriptures. You write them down. Amplified Bible. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realm. Next one. Romans 8:31-32, Amplified. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? That's shouting material right there, I'm telling you right now. Who can be our foe if God is on our side? We can personalize it. We can say, who can be my foe if God is on my side? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? And this was a point made last week as well, that if he gave us his best in giving us his son, would he not give us everything else we need for life? Amen? Let's go on here. Romans 8:17, Amplified, and if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. And you know, a lot of that idea of sharing in his suffering, first of all, he suffered for us. In our, or on our behalf, there's two kinds of suffering, as I understand from the scripture. There's that which he suffered for us as our substitute. How many of you know if he suffered for it as our substitute, we don't need to suffer it. Isn't that right? And so if we're living for him, we don't have to suffer our sins. He suffered for our sins. If we're living for him, we don't have to suffer with sickness because he took our sickness. Now, I know it may attack us, both of those things, sin and sickness, but thank God we have a platform upon which to fight. We've got a place upon which we can stand and fight against the onslaught of the enemy if Jesus took it as our substitute. Isn't that right? All right? And so it says sharing in his sufferings. There's also the things that he suffered not only as our substitute, but then secondly, as he suffered them as our example. There's some things he suffered as an example to us, right? Persecution, reproach, all these various things. Those are an example. He never said we're redeemed from persecution. He said instead, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, right? All right. But you know what? The more, it's an amazing thing. We see it over and over again in Scripture. The more we share in the suffering of persecution, the more God shows up and ministers grace and causes us to inherit whatever we need to get through that suffering of persecution. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What a great time of year to remember his benefits. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Everybody say good things. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Aren't you glad we believe God for our youth to be renewed? Amen. I mean, I know we're aging and everything, but you know what? As we stay in tune with God, commune with Him, don't you think we ought to age graciously? Amen. Praise God. You know, and then of course, you know, the time's coming when this body will be changed. Amen. Let's go on. Last one, I believe, Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. You know, these are promises upon which we must stand. These are promises that we must be reminded of. Wouldn't you agree to that? Because so often we look at the things that are going wrong. And you know, remember the old song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. You know, there's some legitimacy and some viability to that old song. We need to remind ourselves of the blessings of God. We could get so down and out, get so concentrated. I'm speaking to me too. We get so meditating and dwelling on the bad and the negative. We ought to think about all the things, the benefits that God loads on us daily and be reminded of the victories that He has wrought for us. Amen. And we serve Him still and more victories are to come. Let's go on. What causes the blessings to flow? We're going to begin now just looking at a few things in a little bit of time we have. I won't cover them all. I'll just have to pick and choose. But let's look at some of the blessings. How do the blessings flow into our lives? Do they just fall into our lap? Do the blessings of God just automatically happen? Do they just fall right into our lap because, you know, we don't have to do a thing? No, there's some things that the Bible says brings the blessing into our life. There's a way in which we would open the door for the blessings and different attitudes and things such as this that we need to look at. Notice the first one. We'll go through some of these quickly. First of all, Psalm 1:1 says, basically, in fact, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. If you're going to be blessed in life, the Bible says don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I think we have that scripture, don't we, or don't we? Let's go to the next frame. It says this, Amplified Bible, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes. Think about that. We need to be careful not to follow the advice, the plans, and the purposes of the ungodly in making decisions for our life. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that there might be unsaved people that have some wisdom for things, but you know, you better make sure that their wisdom coincides with the wisdom of God. Isn't that right? Amen? We need to be very careful about going with the counsel, the advice, the plans, and the purposes of the ungodly. It says, nor stand submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. Don't walk in the path that sinners walk. If you're going to be blessed, don't walk the path that unbelievers walk, right? Nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Now, some of the things that apply to this, think about this. If you're walking in the path that sinners walk, are you talking like they talk? Amen. Now, listen now. Are you cheating like they may cheat on your taxes or other ways or whatever it may be? Are you doing things, even what people might interpret as being a little white lie? Are you walking the way that sinners walk? If you are, then you can rob yourself of the blessings. I'm talking about deliberate things. I'm talking about things that you do that are like the world does. The world is full of people that cheat. Any way they can, they cheat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, you know, whether it come down to taking a pencil from work that you know isn't yours, whatever it may be, you understand what I'm saying? We need to be careful of that kind of walk, that kind of walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's go to the next one. Let's look at this next one here. All right? Psalm 1, 1 through 3, Message Bible. The Message Bible is a paraphrase, but I liked it. I thought you might as well. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's Word. You chew on Scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. So we don't want to go down Sin Saloon or Dead End Road or Smart Mouth College, do we? Amen? We want our lives to blossom. We want our lives to be fruitful in every way. And that's how we're to do it, because we take thrill in the Word of God instead, right? Amen. We get our counsel from there first and foremost, all right? Let's go on. The first one, not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, putting your trust in God will cause blessings. Trust is another word for faith. I give you Psalm 34 and verse 8 in the next frame. If you'll turn there, notice what it says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Blessed, favored, endued with the power for success are those who trust in the Lord. Put their faith in God and in His Word. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go on to the next one now. Number three, we've got the first two up there in case you didn't write it fast enough. Number three, those who dwell in the house of the Lord are blessed. Look at the scripture, Psalm 84 and verse 4. Those that dwell in the house of the Lord are blessed. It's up there, isn't it? Next one. Here we go. All right, Psalm 84, verse 4. Blessed. I'm using the Amplified a lot. You'll forgive me. I encourage you to write these scriptures down so you can look them up on yourself. I'm using a lot of PowerPoint today. Not necessarily as more than I normally do, possibly. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. What's that referring to, the house of the Lord? That means the people that gather together in the church. The people that, as we gather, wherever they're gathered today, as we gather together in church where the presence of God is, how many of you know there's blessing for people that do that? Amen? He said, as we well know in Hebrews chapter 12, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This gathering that we're doing today is not our idea. It's not my idea. Most of us in the natural, we'd rather, you know, slept in this morning. No, this is God's idea. And I'm having you know, when you follow the idea of God, there's blessing promised to us when we do that. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. And so say, I'm blessed. Because I'm in church today. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the Word says, and we stand on the Word of God, all right? And so blessed is those that come, that dwell in your house and in your presence. Let's go to the next one. Number four is obedience to His command. And for the New Covenant, that would be the love command. The love command is the command of the New Covenant. As we walk in love toward our brothers and sisters, how many of you know there is promise of blessing, right? We're not going to turn to these, but Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 1 and 2, it talks about how, you know, as he's speaking to Israel, but applies to us, how that if we will obey his commands and adhere to his statutes, that we'll be blessed. And it goes on repeatedly through verse 15. Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Isn't that right? No matter where you go, you're blessed when you obey the Word of God. And for us, the primary way we can know and measure whether we're obeying God is the measure of our love walk toward each other. Isn't that right? That's the primary way. That's the primary way. And so that love walk will bring blessing to our lives. Then James 1, 22 through 25 talks about not just being listeners of the Word, but doers of the Word. It says the doer will be blessed in his work, doesn't it? Blessed in his work, because we're a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God. Are you getting anything out of this today? I could tell you all day long how God has blessed us. But then on the other hand, I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't tell you how to get those blessings flowing. Amen? And these are some of the ways to get those blessings flowing. Now, when I talk about obedience, I'm not talking about perfection. But I'm talking about a heart that's right before God that does everything he knows to do to walk in obedience to his Word. Amen? Amen. If you blunder, there's a difference between living the wrong way and blundering occasionally. Isn't that right? And so if we're living the right way, as much as we know how, by faith and the empowerment of God to live that way, if we blunder now and then, how many of you know that we just get back up and keep going again? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Number five, the person who fears or reverences the Lord is called blessed. In Psalm 112, verse 1, Psalm 112 is wonderful. Notice what it says. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. There's a twofold thing in that. But fearing the Lord means you have a reverential awe and respect for God. And that is demonstrated in a variety of ways, isn't it? You have a reverence and awe, respect for God by how you enter in and worship. your reverence, your awe for God by, you know, things like, you know, knowing and recognizing that your actions, though no one else may see them, God always sees what you do. God always sees, or hears rather, what you say. And when you, in fact, God hears and sees what you say in your heart. And our reverential fear of God says, I know God's listening. I know God is watching. I know God is aware of whether it be a bad attitude or a bad act. He is aware of all of it, isn't he? And so a reverential fear of God kind of attitude says, God, forgive me. God, help me. I ask you to forgive me for that. And also is watchful of that. I remember I shared this testimony a long time ago, years ago, when I was working secular. And I was checking traps for rats. Doesn't that sound like a lovely job? And, you know, no one was around. I was outside a big factory, and there were boxes along every side. And it occurred to me, you know, it's freezing out here. And you know what? It's not going to matter. It just occurred to me. Now, don't look at me with that tone of voice. Right. It just occurred to me, I am freezing out here. It's wintertime. And there's all these rat boxes to check. It occurred to me, you know, I could check these next month, and it's liable to be warmer. But, you know, right after that occurrence or that thought occurred, another thought came to me. God is watching. I'm serious. God is watching. And I thought, I don't care if nobody else is watching. God is watching. I'm checking every single one of those boxes. And God, you better keep me warm. Amen. Say, God's watching. He is watching. Amen. And he's listening. Praise God. Let's go on with the next one. All right, number five, the Bible says in James 1, verse 12, that the person who endures temptation is blessed. Can we just, I don't think I have that in the next frame, do I? Or should we turn there? Do I have it on the next frame, Gordon? I don't. Let's go to James, if you don't mind, just for a quick moment, if you don't mind. You're close there if you're still in 2 Peter anyway. Look at James chapter 2, or chapter 1 rather, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, notice what it says in verse 12. I love this. It's talking about, in the context, temptations, tests, and trials. It's saying this, James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed, everybody say blessed. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, notice that it says here that he has promised the crown of life for those that endure temptation. Now, there is an application of that, and the fact that Revelation talks about the crown of life after going through trials, tests, and tribulations. The fact that crown of life, or reward, let's say, a crowning. Crowns always speak of ruling and reigning. A crown speaks of honor and dignity and a variety of other things. But when he talks about it here in James, I think that he not only is referring to the future, but I think that there is a crown or reward in life, even upon us as we endure successfully through temptation today. How many of you know when you get through temptation successfully and you resist it with the power of God, how many of you know that there is a blessing that brings honor and even you could say a crown or a ruling and a reigning. Crown meaning ruling and reigning. The Bible says that we're to reign as kings in life. Speaking of today in Romans 5, I think it's verse 17. Reign as kings in life. When you have endured temptation, how many of you know that you are ruling over that sin? In the name of Jesus. Amen. And there's a reward for that. There's a reward for that. Let's go to the next one because I'm running out of time. Humility. The Bible talks about humility. We won't go to anything there. 1 Peter 5:5 says that he resists the proud, but he gives grace. Grace means empowerment. Could be also understood as blessing. He gives blessing to the humble. What is humility? Humility, does that mean a low self-esteem? No. It means that humility means that you recognize your need for God. Pride says, I don't need anybody. Humility says, recognize, I need God's help. I need God to assist me. I cannot do this. I cannot live life without God's presence, without God's help in my life. We're gonna skip some of these, Brother Gordon. I'd like you to go, if you don't mind, to number 12. It'd be frame number 30, I believe it is, if you don't mind. Frame number 30. Next one. Unity brings blessing. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 133. And you'll forgive me for not being able to go through all those. I was going to go through all those quickly anyway. It talks about those that are, it's basically the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, right? So if you're merciful, you're blessed because you got mercy coming. Isn't that right? Are you hearing what I'm telling you here? All right. Blessed are the peacekeepers, right? For they shall be kept or whatever. I can't remember the exact thing. Blessed are the persecuted. Can you believe being blessed is the persecuted? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the persecuted. You're blessed when you're persecuted. And Peter says that the glory of God comes on you when you're persecuted. So the ones previous to that, many of them had to do with the Sermon on the Mount. Then there was one on giving. Giving, the Bible says, Jesus said, it is more what? Blessed to give than to receive, right? And so there's blessing in giving as well. Unity brings blessing. We need to guard this unity in the day that we live because of the pressures of life. The pressures of life can cause our attitudes and our minds to be under torment that affect the way we relate to other people. Would you agree to that? The pressures of this day that we live, you know, pressures can cause us to react. Pressures can cause us to act wrongly, to be short-tempered. Isn't that right? Pressures. And we live in a life of great pressure. We live in a world with great pressure. So we need to allow God to minister to us. And you know, really, I speak of myself as well. You know, if I don't spend time in the Word and communion with God, praying in various ways, in the Spirit, with my understanding, if I don't worship God, I'm not talking about just at church. I'm talking about worship God alone in my office or at home or whatever. If I don't, I get testy. And so do you. So don't look at me like that. All right, we got to watch ourselves, don't we? We need to guard ourselves. Guard this unity. Now, Psalm 133, beginning with verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head. The precious oil represents anointing, doesn't it? It's like an anointing upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. Now, it's denoting there that as we walk in unity and to that extent, there ought to be more anointing. And that anointing upon the body of believers, we're more anointed together, and disunity or strife will cut off the anointing of the body of believers flowing together the way God would intend us to. Isn't that right? And so if we want the flow of the anointing upon the body, then we need to guard against strife and disunity and guard the unity of Christ. Amen? And notice then it goes on and says, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Now there's more, the dew of Hermon, the dew of descending upon the mountains, etc. Again, the idea of together and the anointing, the presence of God. And then it goes on, for there, everybody say there. The Lord commanded the blessing. There on Mount Hermon, the Lord commanded the blessing. We could relate it to there with unity. Where there's unity, the Lord commands blessing. Amen. Commands blessing. How many know when God commands, it's done. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the next one. Holiness. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want you to just go quickly to one last verse of Scripture, passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody doing all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you, all five of you that said, yeah, amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's just start with verse 1. I know this is familiar to many of us, but let's look at it anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In fact, you know, well, we'll come back to it if we have time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, begin with verse 1. Are you there? Yes. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers, he's talking about the old covenant patriarchs, our fathers, who were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Now, notice now they were under the cloud. The cloud represents the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? And they all passed through the sea. The sea represents baptism, and we can see that. Notice it goes on and it says they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So I see that. There's two baptisms, baptism in the Holy Spirit, the cloud, and baptism in water, the sea. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he's given an illustration here of a type of believers. They were believers of the old covenant, weren't they? God had to work on their belief because many times they got in trouble for unbelief, but he was working on them, right? How many of you would agree he's working on us too? Amen. And so they all passed through the cloud and the sea. Verse 3, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, was that rock literally Christ? No, but that rock represented Christ, where they smote the stone the first time. They smote the stone because they were complaining they had no water. God instructed Moses to smite the stone and water flowed out. How many of you know that our rock Christ was smitten? He was smitten on a cross, wasn't he? And would you agree with me that when he was smitten, there became available to us a fountain of living waters in order so that we might have life. Isn't that right? And so the Bible is just full. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a message of Jesus Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, and giving and providing life to those that believe. It is the book of redemption. Amen? And so we see that there's the picture of Christ even with Israel there. And going on to verse 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples. Everybody say, my examples. These things became our examples to the intent that they should not lust. Everybody say, lust. There's five things mentioned here that caused them trouble, that kept them from being blessed, that kept them really, in many regards, from entering in to the promises that God had for them. First of all, for lust. They could not enter in because they had lust after evil things as they also lusted. That's an example for us. Lust means this. It means to set one's heart upon something, to covet it, or to greatly desire. And so he's talking about lusting after the wrong things, not even necessarily sexual lust. He's talking about desiring with a passion the wrong things. Over and above your desire and passion for God. How many of you know he needs to be first in our desire and passion? And so going on with this, it goes on, and do not become idolaters. Everybody say idolaters. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So first he mentions those folks were not pleasing to God because they lusted after things they shouldn't have been. They desired them and had passion for them more and above God. And then also it says they were idolaters. Idolatry, I'm going to define it, is a value system that we create and in which we esteem something to be more worthy of our devotion than devotion to God. You say, I don't have a golden image to worship. I don't have statues that I worship. No, but do you have a value system that is devoted more to other things than you are devoted to God? That becomes idolatry, right? Some examples of that is power. People idolize power. Prestige, education, money, business, popularity, ego, pornography is images that are worshiped more or less. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All those things are a form of idolatry. Now going on, verse 8. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Sexual immorality. So we got lust, we got idolatry, we got sexual immorality. All these things kept people, the people of God of that day, from receiving the blessings of the Lord. Everybody doing all right? Getting a little heavy in the house now. But no, rejoice, because truth sets us free, doesn't it? All right? And so going on now with this, here's a big one. Here's verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. What is tempting Christ? Tempting Christ means to, by our actions or words, demand that God do something that is contrary to his will. Remember, Jesus quoted to the devil when the devil tried to tempt him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. He said, the devil quoted the scripture in Psalm 91. It said, he'll keep his angels charge, give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus said, the Bible also says, it is written as well, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God, right? And so that would be tempting to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, would be tempting the Lord our God, or demanding of him that he do something that would not be his will to begin with. So it wasn't God's will for him to be jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. Isn't that right? Sometimes we do the same type of thing. We'll tempt the Lord our God. We will be unscrupulous, perhaps, in business and expect God to bless our business. That's tempting the Lord your God. Amen? We may do a variety of things that we know are wrong to do. And in doing that, we're saying, well, God will still bless me. Now, personally, I also believe that a lot of times Christians don't tithe, but yet they expect God to bless their finances. How many of you know that's contradictory to the scripture? Did you know that? All right, I don't see that. I don't think you can do that. That is tempting the Lord thy God or demanding him to do something that would be contrary to the scripture, to the word of God, right? Other people, they do other things that tempt the Lord thy God, like they ride the roller coaster at the Great Escape, which I think is really ungodly, because that's tempting the Lord thy God by going, I'm kidding, Brother Andy, Andy's right there, he loves roller coasters, amen, and Brother Josh, I say roller coasters are tempting the Lord thy God, I'm telling you that right now. All right, now just in case, and I only got a couple of minutes, but just in case none of these other things apply to you, notice this last one. This is fitting for this time of season. Nor complain, verse 10. So, you know, maybe so far you're thinking, man, I'm scot-free here. I haven't lusted in a long time. I haven't committed idolatry as far as I know. I don't have sexual immorality in my life. I haven't tempted the Lord Christ as far as I'm aware of. But yet now, nor complain. Uh-oh. How many of you know the word is an equal opportunity word? Amen? Amen. If you didn't get yours yet, I guarantee you all of us have complained at one time or another, haven't we? And if you don't admit it, you lied, and that's just as bad. He says, nor complain, as some of them also complain, and were destroyed by the strife. Aren't you glad we got the grace of God? Aren't you glad every time you complain, you don't get destroyed? Of course, it would only take one time. You'd be done. You wouldn't get destroyed again. Oh, Jesus. Verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. My point is this. This last point was holiness. Separating ourselves to God. Being used of Him. Keeping our lives pure. Our motives pure. And if we fail, if we blunder, ask forgiveness and receive the forgiveness that God offers. Amen? Again, we're not talking about sinless perfection by any means, because we know that that won't happen until our bodies are changed. And we are changed in the twinkling of an eye. It is coming. But we are talking about growing in such a way and having the attitude of not taking for granted the blessings of the Lord, but realizing that God expects some things from us. And as we grow and pursue Him and commune with Him and get His word in our hearts, as the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. How many of you know there's power in His word coming into our heart? Amen? Amen. As we do those things, those blessings of God will flow. Aren't His blessings worth pursuing? Amen? Aren't His blessings? And He wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. And you know what? Do we have enough to be thankful for? I think we do, don't we? In this Thanksgiving season, let's not be complainers. Let's be Thanksgivingers. Amen? Amen. Amen. Worship team, if you'd come, let's stand and let's just worship God for a minute. Did you receive something from that today? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, if you can, let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Let's just thank Him for the word and the promises of God. Let's just thank Him that He loads us daily with benefits. Let's just thank Him as we bless Him. Let's bless the Lord, our souls, and all that is within us, and let's not forget His benefits. Oh, who forgives us of our iniquities, who heals us of our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction. Oh, Lord God, we thank You. We're thankful. We're rejoicing in You today, Father. I pray, Father, as I prayed earlier, I believe You, that the seeds sown today are on good ground, and they're going to be watered, and they're going to be brought to our remembrance by the Spirit of God, and we're going to just live a little bit higher than we have lived. The rest of this year and into the next year, we're going to go up higher in You, Father God. We're going to reach more out for You and commune with You and get closer relationally with You and just be more blessed so that we can bless those that are around us, Father God. I declare again, according to the Word of God, that God's people are a blessed people. In spite of what goes on around us, we're a blessed people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let's just, whatever's on your heart, folks, let's just worship God for a minute, see if He wants to do anything else. In